Colossians chapter 2, just these two short verses. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. The word of God for the people of God. As we approach Thanksgiving in the next few days, let me kind of refresh your memories about what you know about that first Thanksgiving. We know about the pilgrims coming on the Mayflower, and 102 pilgrims arrived on the Mayflower and settling in Plymouth. And their first winter was extremely harsh, and they had didn't really have much time after they arrived to plant crops and to establish a storehouse for the coming winter. Shelter was very minimal of what they had. And if you've ever watched, have you ever watched a TV show Alone? Anybody? A few of you have, more than the first service, actually. If you ever watched that TV show Alone, which is what, where they take 10 people out into a very remote area and drop them off, and they're not together, they're all dropped off 5-6 miles apart. They're just dropped with like 10 survival tools, and they have no food, no water, no shelter. They have to find all that and survive on their own. And whoever survives lasts the longest will win $500,000. So, and it's amazing, some of these people will go 90 days just trying to catch their own food, provide their own water, and build their own shelters. Well, the pilgrims were similar to that. When they arrived, they didn't have much of anything that way either. But winter approached, and winter was harsh and severe that first year. So out of the 102 that arrived, 50 passed away that first winter. So, I mean, we're not 102, but if you take a look at the congregation, everybody on this side, if you looked at that side, they all died. But if you want to be the ones alive, you look at that side, and you say, they're the ones that... Basically, half the group didn't make it. But in the spring, as spring came, and then as they met the Indians, and the Indians befriended them and helped them, and they had a good harvest, and they laid up crops for the winter again, they decided they needed to come before God and be thankful. And so they planned a celebration of Thanksgiving. That first Thanksgiving, around 100 Indians arrived with their, that's the men with their women and children. The Indians brought 5 or 6 deer with them to celebrate with, and the pilgrims had been out and hunting for fowl, so they had the turkey and pheasant and grouse. And the celebration lasted for 3 days. A few weeks later, another ship arrived with more people. And so they didn't bring any supplies or food or whatever. So they went through another very harsh winter. And maybe you've heard the story of the 5 kernels of corn, that their rations got so small that once a day they'd get 5 kernels of corn to eat that day. And so that second Thanksgiving, everybody received on their plate 5 kernels of corn so they wouldn't forget. That's the basics of the story that we know with Thanksgiving. There's more to it if you want to look into it. But the question that I want you to think about this morning is, why did they come to America in the first place? What brought them here? And, you know, as you listen to this, you'll find some of the similarities maybe that what we've been going through within the United Methodist Church as well. You know, much like Abraham received a call to leave his family and head off to a place where God would take him, you know, the early settlers also chose to depart from their family and to seek another place in which they wanted to live. A number of years before the pilgrims headed to America, maybe 10 years or so, they weren't called pilgrims, by the way, at the time. They were called separatists. Pilgrim terminology came, I think, was maybe in the 1800s. So, you know, they were called the separatists. And before they set sail for America, before that, they had moved to Holland or the Netherlands to avoid religious persecution. You never thought much about England being a place that would persecute people for their faith, did, have you? But at the time in England, if you did not pledge loyalty to the Church of England, you could be fined, imprisoned, or banished. And so that forced those who were separatists to worship in secret for fear of being imprisoned. And they desired, you know, a freedom of worship, and they also were looking for a more pure form of church government. And so they migrated to Holland in the Netherlands. While they were there, they encountered economic hardships because the type of work they could find just was not producing enough. But even more than that, they noticed that their children were losing their native English culture to the culture in which they were living. They were concerned that their children were being transformed by the culture. So, desiring to preserve both their heritage and their hopes for a better economy, they chose to sail to America on the Mayflower. And so they came both to preserve their religious freedom and also to better themselves. Now, that's part of why the separatists, the pilgrims as we know it, why they came, their choice to come here. But there were others who came to America also for religious freedom as well, in the same general time frame. His name was William Penn, and he founded a place. What's the name of that place? What did you say? Penn's Woods. How do you know it? Do you know it? Pennsylvania, you know, he founded Pennsylvania, you know, and it was named after his father, by the way. William Penn, he was born into a nobleman's family. His father had been an admiral in the English Navy, and he was a student at Oxford. And while he was there, he encountered the Quakers, and as he heard their preaching, and as they taught that each life could be part of the divine spirit, and that there was equality, that the way you should treat each other, and there wasn't such a division between noble and others, that he then joined the Quakers, which were considered heretical zealots by the Church of England. And he was imprisoned in the Tower of London for some time. But his father, because his father had so much many connections, he was released, and then he was granted a 45,000 square acre tract of land because the king owed his father a huge debt. So Pennsylvania came to pay off a debt, but also gave William Penn freedom where he could come here to worship as he felt led to worship. He called it the Holy Experiment. And those who would come here would no longer be imprisoned for their faith. Now, if I got to count this right, my great, 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 great grandfather was a contemporary and friend of William Penn. He came to America with William Penn. He was part of his governing board. He founded Abingdon, which is outside of Philadelphia, or a suburb of Philadelphia. And he had been imprisoned in England for 7 years because he was a Quaker and would not pledge allegiance to the Church of England. You know, both the Pilgrims and Penn, they were committed to their biblical roots, and they wanted to worship more with abundant faith to what they believed, even though they'd been persecuted. But they were also abundantly thankful for all God provided for them through his grace and his mercy. Well, that's kind of the history. As we're looking towards Thanksgiving and some of the history of what the area where we live in and what we know about the first Thanksgiving with the Pilgrims, you know, as a church, we need to ask ourselves, will we remain faithful to our biblical roots? You know, are we seeking to worship in a biblically pure way and with a more simplified form of church government? You know, as the Pilgrims sensed that their kids were being transformed by the culture, Are we choosing instead to be transformed by the grace of God according to Scripture? And that's a decision we've made as a church. That's part of what our vote was about this past week. But the bigger question, the much bigger than that, is how will you approach this personally? How will you seek to be faithful in your personal life? Biblically pure, transformed by the grace and mercy of God. Will you personally seek to worship with purity? Both Pilgrims and Penn's followers chose to leave behind homes and family to seek what God would have for them. Are there things you might need to leave behind to follow where God would take you? Much like Abraham left all behind, and he was found to have faith, and it was accounted him to righteousness. You know, when we're called to follow in faith, when Jesus says to us, you know, come follow me, you're never sure exactly where that's going to take you sometimes. You know, the disciples didn't know exactly where they were going, but they chose to follow. And they left stuff behind. Peter and Andrew, James and John, they walked away from their fishing nets, and they left their fishing nets behind. Matthew, when he was called, he stood up and he walked away from the tax table where he had a lucrative income. The woman at the well, she left behind her bucket when she ran back to the village to tell people who she's found in Jesus Christ. Bartimaeus, the blind person begging along the road, he walked away from his robe that he would cast out for people to throw their alms on because he chose instead to follow Jesus. You know, we can't hold on to things that would prevent us from following. You know, there's a cost in being obedient when God calls you. And each one of us needs to weigh what that cost is. What's the next step? What would be your new land, your new country that you would set sail for? What is it that God would be taking you to in another place where you might establish your own legacy of faith and thanksgiving? Pilgrims and Penn, they teach us that we need to be thankful even when life seems hard and challenging, even when you grieve over the loss of half of your body. We need to be thankful even if it means that we feel imprisoned because we're being faithful. You know, Paul tells us in this passage in Colossians that we should be abounding in thanksgiving. Think about when you go to your Thanksgiving table, how much time do you spend in Thanksgiving? You know, do you pretty much say, "Dear Lord, we want to thank you for this food, for this year," and you say a prayer over your food, and then you just jump into eating and sharing and talking? Or do you spend time? And I speak for myself that I don't spend as much time as I should at Thanksgiving, taking a moment to count through all the things that I should be thankful for. You know, I didn't say this in the first service, but I'd suggest maybe you start a list now, so when Thursday arrives, you can look through your list. You know, too many times we're kind of like a toddler, that someone gives them something and they start to walk away, and mom or dad said, "Did you say thank you?" And they turn and say, "Thank you," and then they keep going. Our thankfulness often is just well, I got to say it, so I'll say it, and then move forward. Or do we really mean it? Do we really take a moment before God to say, "God, I want to give you everything. Everything I have is what you have given to me." So are you willing to follow? Have you asked God to guide you to where your next journey should be? It may be simple things like a job or a physical location, but it could also be a journey into, where do I need to deepen my faith? Where do I need to pray more? Do I need to fast? Do I need to spend more time in the Scriptures? Do I need to get involved in some other ministries that are within the community, the church, or mission trips, or where is God asking you to set sail for? in your life to be faithful? And will you give thanks? You know, as we forge ahead, we have the same opportunity, even if it's in one person's life or in a multitude or in a nation, to start a legacy of thanksgiving because of our faithfulness. The pilgrims had no intention of starting a national holiday. They had no intention of starting a national holiday. They were just responding in faith to the God they loved. Will those you impact years later give the same spirit of faith and thanksgiving from them watching and hearing your stories? Let's pray together. Father, help us. Lord, help us to recall and remember all that you provided for us, all that you've brought us through. Father, help us move and set sail for new lands, new places, new spots where we might proclaim your name with freedom and glory. And may we be faithful and thankful in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. May you seek how you might be abundantly faithful, seeking to go where God would take you. And may your thanksgiving be what they describe as abounding with thanksgiving. May you go in the grace and peace of Jesus Christ and be poured out his Spirit upon you in Jesus' name. Amen.